Welcome to another evening on Chattahoochee Creek. We're studying the book of Romans in the New Testament survey class, and we're talking about the future glory of the sons of God. The future glory of the sons of God. As you can, this is not a backdrop here, this is a real thing on Chattahoochee Creek. I hope you enjoy the scenery while we study God's Word. Verse number 17, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him in order that we might be also glorified with Him. We're talking about the future glory of the sons of God and of God the Son. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time or this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation, all creation longs for the redemption of the sons of God, because when you have the redemption of the sons of God, also this creation, this beautiful creation that we see behind us here, will all be redeemed and put back into harmony with God. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he subjected the whole creation to catastrophe and suffering. And it will be that way until the Lord redeems it back. Jesus, in Genesis 3:15, as He was speaking to Adam, Eve, and the serpent there, He said, I will put active hatred between you, speaking to Satan and her seed, and you shall bruise him as to the heel, but he shall bruise you as to the head. That was the first promise of the Messiah, our kinsman redeemer, in the Bible. And our kinsman redeemer did become flesh in John 1:14. Kaiho logos sox agenito, and the Word, the Jehovah flesh, He became and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18 says, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has led himself out. We have the redemption now. We have the redemption of the sons of God. We have the promise of it. One of these days it will become a fact. I wish I had my map behind me. It would take away from the scenery. I should have had it up here in front. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. The creation and God's children look forward to their redemption, the Elpidia, our future hope. That the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. When we're lost and in this world, we think we're doing our own thing, but we're not. We're doing the will of the God of this age, Satan, Lucifer. We're doing the will of Him. When we become born again, when we become saved, when we look upon Jesus, we call upon Him to save our souls and redeem us from our sins and from the slavery of sin. We have the promise of eternal life. Our flesh, God makes no provision for. But for our eternal spirits now, the Spirit of God dwells in us. Our souls are saved and marked for eternity in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers pains of childbirth together until now. And now only this, but also we ourselves having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as the sons, the redemption of our body. We're not complete. We're triune like God. God said, let us make man in Genesis 1:26 in our image, in our shadow casting likeness, in our blood flowing nightless, and in our sovereign image. In other words, He's made in the person of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Without all of that triune being of ours, we're not complete. when we're saved and when we go to be with the Lord today, we are not complete because our bodies stay back in the grave. We put them in caskets called hope chests. We bury them in graveyards. Sometimes we burn them up to ashes. We put those ashes in a safe spot. Or sometimes we put them out in a stream like this to run down so they can be in part of nature again. But God will call all of that DNA back together one of these days, whether we're lost or saved, and put it back together and resurrected as redeemed beings or as those to be tormented forever and ever. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? When you see something, you know it is. You know it's real. I can look here. I can look at these boulders. I can look at this wild roses here with the rose hips on it. I can look at these birch trees, the willow trees, the pine trees, all of the things around me. I can see the water. I can see the big fish swimming in the streams. And I see life. But that life is doomed because all of it dies. It'll all die. This tree here will die. Maybe 50 years from now, not one branch in that tree will be left alive. All the fish here in this stream will be gone. Wild roses will be replaced by more wild roses. The sage, the pine trees will grow old as our bodies grow old and they die. But if we hope for what we do not see, but with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Verse number 26, Romans 8 chapter. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray. Have you ever been in such dire straits? You saw somebody dying, and you're praying for those that are very ill. I heard a man last night just crying his heart out. He was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and there was no hope, no treatment for him. I prayed for him at that very moment. Well, he will meet his Maker. I hope that he knows the Lord. I pray that he does. Because it's only beginning here. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray. When you're praying for somebody sometimes you just cry. I remember when my wife and I were praying for this ministry up here. We sat down one night and we prayed for maybe an hour, and I prayed with very much tears and anguish. I prayed that God would give us this place so that we could honor and glorify Him with it as we're doing it this moment. It was a miracle that we got it. I wanted it all put together already. We're having to build it all. So we're starting from putting in electricity in the septic system. The septic system is in. The electricity is next. We got to drill a water well. We got to build a house. We got to build a place to preach in the wintertime. But right now, it's wonderful right down here on this creek. God gave us this. It was a miracle that we got it. Because I had no money to buy it, but we ended up getting the money. We need a lot more money to do what we're going to do. So pray with us that we can do that. Sometimes we don't know how to pray when we're in great pain with sickness. You get sick and the doctors don't give you any hope. You get real serious with God. You have to trust in Him. When we're praying for somebody that is hurt and has been hurt, I remember when my little daughter was in such terrible pain and being tortured and abused terribly. And there was very little I could do about it. I'd have to leave her with her birth mother, and I would go to church, going to preach, and cry my eyes out all the way there, begging God to take care of her and to protect her and to give divine retribution to those that were harming her. Went through many years with that. She's alive. Not without scars. Neither am I. But I prayed from my spirit because my words would not come out. The Spirit of God helped me pray for her. And we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings and deep words and groanings too deep for words. I had groanings too deep for the human language. My soul cried. And he who searches the hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Are you in the will of God today? Have you been saved? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Or have you been introduced to Jesus by the Spirit of God? Have you asked Him to forgive you and save your soul? Are you walking the way God wants you to want, or are you doing what God wants you with your life? God didn't leave you on this world to just go your way. Are you doing the will of God? Are you glorifying God with your life? And we know that God causes all things to work for the good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His placed before plans, His eternal purpose. God has an eternal purpose for your life. A long time in eternity to pass, He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He knew that you would have volition in space and time. That wasn't even valid until Jesus died for your sins. It was all a promise. Now it's a fact. We're looking forward to the fact that we shall be glorified with Him one of these days, and we shall. If you are His child, if you are glorified, doing your will with His life, you will have glory, much glory. I've also said many people, there are degrees in hell and there are degrees in heaven according to what you've done for the Lord. There's no way in the world that we can pay Him back for what He did for us. We just say thank you with our lives and with our souls and with our spirits. We glorify Him as we sing praises to His name. We glorify Him as we reach others for Him. We glorify Him with our breath and our lives, with our conversation, with our attitude in the world. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He predestined, those He also called. And whom He called, those He justified. We are predestined. In Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for in grace you're having been saved, through faith, and that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. But we are created unto good works. God created us not to lay down like a sloth in a tree, and you'd have to take a camera and take pictures to see that it even moved at all. God is a moving, He's energy. And when He leaves His energy in you, when the Spirit of God comes in you, do something. Do something. And whom He predestined, these also He called. And whom He called, these also He justified. And whom He justified, these also He glorified. God can see us in glory with Him right now. He's not tied down to space and time. He is a God of glory. He's a God of all ages. The earth is His footstool, and in time He can see eternity past, eternity future. He can see us with Him today. What have you done for Jesus? What have you done? We're talking about the future glory of the Son of God. I see little lizards running around here and horned toads. I see them going and looking at me and wondering what in the world I'm talking about and what in the world I'm doing right now. You might be doing the same thing out there. Well, I'm trying to glorify God with my life and with His Word. Not because I'm doing something to glorify me or to do anything great in this life, but to just reach souls with the Word of God. Reach souls, nephesh, souls with the Word of God. What then shall we say to these things? If God be our who is before us, who can be against us? Who did not spare His own Son, God delivered Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Oh, Satan, I've said this so many times. I know what Satan is. He's about 3 feet behind me. He's followed me all of my life. But I tell you what, I've got one who is stronger than him. One who has snatched me out of the flames of hell. One who has snatched me away from many bad decisions I've made in life and kept me alive. Kept me alive from cancer. Kept me alive from danger. From explosions. From wrecks. From wild horses. And my foolishness. He who is the one who also condemns, Jesus Christ, the Christ Jesus, is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Every time old Satan tries to bring something against us, just read the book of Job. We need to read the book of Job at least 2 or 3 times a year. Now that's Job. Job suffered all that for us so we can understand how we are going to live and what in the world is going on in the world today. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? There's nothing that can separate us from God. Once we've been born again, we are born again. You can't be unborn. Arminianism is the most foolish thing that I've ever seen in this world. It just doesn't at all, nothing at all, and it makes sense. The grace of God is the grace of God. Man cannot walk on his own 2 feet and walk into the presence of God. It's by God's grace. We are saved by grace and grace alone. Just as it has been written, for thy sake we're being put to death all day long. We were considered sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So loved the world, the creation, the future glory of the creation. I sit here and look at this place, and it's like paradise. And how could it be any better than this? It's going to be. It's going to be. I look up right now. I'm looking at Boundary Peak, Montgomery Peak, and White Mountain in the background. And between me and there are many wild animals. There are much killing and being killed out there all the time. There won't be any more of that. They'll be beautiful. The land will be beautiful like it is right now, but without sin and without hate. And without killing. God created animals not for food, but for companionship. And back as it goes in the garden, it shall be one of these days our future glory. Our future glory. The future glory of this beautiful land. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. Life, death, nothing. Somebody could kill you. The Catholic Church killed between 50 and 100 million people, Christians, during the Dark Ages. Islam has killed 270 million and still going right and left, killing Christians every day. They've been to separate them from the love of God. It just sends them right into his presence. And when they die, they go into presence of hellfire, in Hades, I should say, waiting for hellfire with no hope. We have hope. They can have hope if they just look to Jesus, whom they hate and despise. Jesus, God the Son, who created the heavens and the earth, who created all that we see, who restored it in Genesis, the first chapter, who loved it. Genesis 1 and 1 says, Bereshith bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. In one of the beginnings, he had created God, the heavens and the earth. And then it says, We ha'aris, hathiatuhu wabuhu, we hoshuk el panei hamayim. And the earth she had become formless and void, and spirit God suffered over, mourned over the faces of the deep, the darkness. Satan had created the darkness that was once light. He was a light carrier. Lucifer means light carrier. It's Hallel in Greek, or in Hebrew, that is. He was a light carrier, became the carrier of darkness. And in each and every one of your lives out there, if you don't know Jesus, he is the God of this world, and he is the God of your life. Turn loose of him and come to God. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These are the scriptures that are talking about security of the believer, and it is secure. Your salvation is secure in Christ Jesus. That's it. This creation that we see around us, this beautiful creation around us, will be completely separated from all sin and corruption. It suffers It suffers every day for the pains and pain of what Lucifer did and what Adam has done. But we shall be redeemed. We shall be redeemed. This beautiful creation shall be redeemed. Our Heavenly Father, I sent this message out on the internet for all of my students, for all the people all over in the Philippines and China, Europe, all through America, that Your word will be glorified. As my teacher said a long time ago to me, if you can't think anything else to say, just brag on Jesus. And I hope I bragged on Jesus this night. Forgive us for Your failure, Father. Help us to glorify You. In Jesus' name we pray. And we send this out. If one is lost, that they'll turn to You. If one is saved, that they'll serve You with their lives. In Jesus' name, again, I ask it. I ask Your blessing upon this word. Amen.